Our text this morning is Hebrews chapter 11 verses 30 to 40. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 30 to 40. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Now we've been saying that Hebrews chapter 11 begins the final section of the epistle of the book of Hebrews. It begins the last three chapters. Hebrews chapter 11 begins chapter 11, 12 and 13, the last portion of scripture in Hebrews. So we saw how in Hebrews chapter 1 right up to chapter 6, which spoke about the superior personhood of Christ. We saw the superior personhood of Christ in chapter 1 to chapter 6. And then in Hebrews chapter 7 to chapter 10, we saw the superior priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And now in Hebrews chapter 11 right up to chapter 13, the last three chapters, these three chapters gives us a superior principle, the principle of faith. And this principle of faith should encourage each one of us to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and entrust our lives to Him. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who seek Him. Now the readers of the epistle of Hebrews were tempted to go back into Judaism. They were tempted to put their confidence in the visible things which they could see. The temple was right in front of them, and the sacrifices were still going on. And so they were tempted to go back to Judaism, and they were losing trust in the invisible realities of God. Instead of going on to maturity, instead of going on to perfection, they were tempted to go back to perdition. Remember that word, perdition, waste. The writer exhorts them and encourages them not to go back and waste away their lives. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, waste, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. In Hebrews chapter 11, all Christians are called to live by faith. And we said that the writer discusses two important topics relating to faith in this chapter. Number one is the description of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verses 1 to 3, we find the description of faith, Hebrews 11, 1 to 3. And then we see the demonstration of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verses 4 to 40. And we have looked at the description of faith, and we are now studying the demonstration of faith. In Abel, we saw faith worshipping. Then in Enoch, we saw faith walking. And in Noah, we saw faith working. In the patriarchs, we saw faith waiting. Then in Moses, we saw faith fighting. And now in Joshua and Rahab, we will see faith winning. Hebrews chapter 11 verses 30 and 31. You see, the conquest, the account of the conquest of Jericho, you find that in Joshua chapter 2, right up to chapter 6. And Joshua succeeded Moses as leader of Israel. He succeeded because he trusted the same God that Moses had trusted. God changes his workmen, but God does not change his principles of work. God blesses faith and God judges unbelief. From a human point of view, Jericho was an impossible city to conquer. But Joshua's first act of faith was not the defeat of Jericho, but the crossing of the Jordan River. By faith, the entire nation of Israel crossed the River Jordan, just as previously the older generation, the previous generation, had crossed the Red Sea. And this was a witness. This was a witness, and it was a warning to the Canaanite nations, because they saw that Israel was marching forward by the power of God. Now, Rahab was a harlot. How can a person like her come to the knowledge of the true God of Israel? Jesus told the chief priests, remember, he spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the Jews, and he said in Matthew chapter 21, verse 32, we read, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him, and even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." In verse 31, the same chapter, Matthew 21, verse 31, Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." So how was Rahab saved? Rahab was saved by grace. The other inhabitants of the city perished. God in his mercy and grace permitted Rahab to live. She was saved by grace and she was saved by faith. She was saved by grace through faith. What was it that she saw? What was it that she knew about the God of Israel? We find the record in Joshua chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. "Before the men lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, 'I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death.' And the men said to her, 'Our life for yours, even to death. If you do not tell this business of ours, then when the Lord gives us the land, we will deal kindly and faithfully with you.'" Rahab knew that Jehovah, the Lord, the God of Israel, had delivered Israel from Egypt and that he had opened the Red Sea. But that was 40 years before. She also knew that God had defeated the other nations during Israel's wilderness wanderings. God had defeated the other nations, and she knew that. "For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." Joshua 2 verse 11, she says that. That was her testimony of faith, and God honored her faith. But she was saved by grace through faith to do good works. True faith must always show itself in good works. In the book of James, James speaks about Rahab. In James chapter 2, verse 20 to 26, "Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Rahab protected the spies and she tied the scarlet cord in the window as she was directed by those spies. In Joshua chapter 2 verse 15 to 21, Joshua 2 verses 15 to 21 we read, then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was built into the city wall, so that she lived in the wall. And she said to them, go into the hills, or the pursuers will encounter you, and hide there 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterward, you may go your way. The men said to her, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear. And she said, according to your words, so be it. Then she sent them away and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. Now Rahab also apparently won her family to the true faith. In Joshua 2 verse 13 we see, Joshua 2 verse 13, that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. In Joshua chapter 6 verse 25, we see this happening. Joshua 6 and verse 25. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive. And she has lived in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. So she obeyed the Lord in every way. Not only was Rahab delivered from judgment, but she became a part of the nation of Israel. She married Salmon and gave birth to Boaz. And Boaz was the ancestor of King David. We read in Matthew chapter 1, in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Matthew 1, 4 to 6. And Ram, the father of Aminadab, and Aminadab, the father of Nashon, and Nashon, the father of Salmon, and Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. Imagine a pagan harlot becoming a part of the ancestry of Jesus Christ. That is what faith can do. Rahab is also a rebuke to unsaved people from traditional Christian homes who give excuses for not trusting Christ. I've heard this so many times. I don't know very much about the Bible. That's an excuse we often hear. Rahab knew very little spiritual truth, but she acted on what she knew. Oh, I am too bad to be saved. That's another excuse. But Rahab was a condemned pagan harlot. Then you have another excuse. What will my family think? Rahab's first concern was saving her family, not opposing her family. She stands as one of the great women of faith in the Bible. So we see in Abel, we saw faith worshiping. Then in Enoch, we saw faith walking, and in Noah we saw faith working. In the patriarchs we saw faith waiting. Then in Moses we saw faith fighting. In Joshua and Rahab we saw faith winning. Finally, we will see there are various heroes of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 verses 32 to 40. Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, and obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Faith can operate in the life of any person who is willing to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 17, we see how faith comes into being. Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There are various personalities here in this passage that we just read. Various personalities here. Gideon, a frightened farmer, his faith did not grow suddenly. It did not grow strong straight away. No. He kept asking for signs from God. In Judges chapter 6, verse 17 we read, and he said to him, if now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speak with me. We read of this account of Gideon in Judges chapter 6 verse 11 right up to chapter 7 verse 25. Then we read of Barak. Barak won a resounding victory over Sisera, but he needed Deborah the prophetess as his helper to assure him. And we read of that account in Judges chapter 4 and chapter 5. Both Gideon and Barak are encouragements to us who falter in our faith. Then you have the account of Samson. The account of Samson is familiar. Judges chapter 13 right up to chapter 16. We would not call Samson a godly man because he yielded to his fleshly appetites. He was a Nazarite, which meant he was dedicated to God and was never to cut his hair or partake of the fruit of the vine. Now, a Nazarite should not be confused. A Nazarite should not be confused with a Nazarene. A Nazarene is a resident of Nazareth. In the book of Judges chapter 13 verses 2 to 5, we read, Judges 13, 2 to 5, there was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Yes, Samson did trust God to help and deliver him, and in the end we find Samson was willing to give his very life to defeat the enemy. But we must not conclude that believers today can expect to lead double lives and then still enjoy God's blessing. No. Believers who live in sin will experience God's chastisement. And we will learn more about chastisement in Hebrews chapter 12, in the coming chapter that we will study. Today, we live in days of far greater revelation than the people had in the Old Testament. And greater revelation of truth calls for greater responsibility and greater accountability. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 5 to 11 we read, Ephesians 5, 5 to 11, "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them." So we are saved by grace through faith to do good works which God has foreordained for us before the foundation of the world was laid. Then we find Jephthah's story. Jephthah's story is fascinating. We read of his account in Judges chapter 11 verse 1 right up to Judges chapter 12 in verse 7. Now it is unlikely that Jephthah sacrificed his only daughter as a burnt offering. That was forbidden in Israel. Probably Jephthah dedicated her to the Lord. Probably that's what he did. He dedicated her to the Lord on the basis of the law of vows. And you read of the law of vows in Leviticus chapter 27. Dedicating her to perpetual virginity. Judges chapter 11 verses 34 to 40. Now it is not possible for us to examine each example of faith in detail in this short hour. Even the writer of Hebrews stopped citing names. After he mentioned David and Samuel, he stopped mentioning names. David and Samuel were certainly great men of faith. There are examples in the Old Testament there are examples of men and women who won the victories that are referred to in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 33 to 35. Hebrews 11, 33 to 35. "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. David subdued kingdoms. He brought about a righteous rule. Daniel's faith stopped the mouths of lions." Daniel chapter 6. Then you find the three Hebrew young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They overcame the power of the fiery furnace. Daniel chapter 3 verses 23 to 28. Then you have the women of faith mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 35. And you find their stories given in 1 Kings chapter 17 verses 17 to 24. Where Elijah raises the widow's son. And then you have Elisha raising the Shunammite's son in 2 Kings chapter 4 verses 18 to 37. Now the transition in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 35 is important. And we mentioned that last time, Hebrews 11, 35. "Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life." You see, not all men and women of faith experienced miraculous deliverance. Some were tortured and died. The word translated "others" in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 36. That word translated "others" means others of a different kind. Hebrews 11 verse 36. "Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment." The others, these people had faith. But God did not see fit to deal with them in the same way he dealt with Moses, Gideon, and David. Let us remember this one thing, and this is very important. God does not have to deliver me from a trial in order to prove that I have faith. God may choose to do so, but at times he may not do so. The writer records this fact. In Hebrews chapter 11 verses 36 to 38, we see this fact. Many unknown men and women of faith were not delivered from difficult circumstances, yet God honored their faith. Hebrews 11 verses 36 to 38. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. In fact, it takes more faith to endure a trial than it does to escape a trial. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 24 to 26, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Like the three Hebrew young men, we should trust God and obey him, even if he does not deliver us. Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verses 34 to 35, "And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it.'" Man's estimate of these heroes of faith was a very low estimate. So men persecuted them. They arrested them, they tortured them, and in some cases they killed them. But God's estimate is entirely different. You know what God says? God says in that verse, in verse 38, that the world was not worthy of these people. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 38, "Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." Now, the Apostle Paul is a good illustration of this truth. Festus said that Paul was out of his mind. Acts chapter 26, verse 24. "And as he was saying these things in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you out of your mind.' The Jews said Paul was not fit to live." Acts chapter 22, verse 22. "Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live.'" Paul himself said that he was treated like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13. "When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things." Yet, Paul was God's chosen vessel, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived. Faith enables us to turn from the approval of the world, from the approval of the people, and seek only the approval of God. If God is glorified by delivering his people, he will do it. If God sees fit to be glorified by not delivering his people, then he will do that. But we must never conclude that the absence of deliverance means a lack of faith on the part of God's children. No, that's wrong. Faith looks to the future. That is where the greatest rewards are found, not on this earth. And that is when the true faithful believers will receive their crowns, remember. The people named in this chapter and those unnamed did not receive the promises. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. But these people had God's witness to their faith that one day they would be rewarded. God's purpose involves Old Testament saints as well as New Testament saints. And one day all of us shall share the heavenly city that true saints look for by faith. We are saved by grace through faith. We are saved to do good works. The word saints means saved sinners, saved by grace through faith. And we all look forward to that heavenly city by faith. And we today should give thanks for these saints of old, for they were faithful during difficult times. And yet, we are the ones who have received the better blessing. They saw some of these blessings afar off. That's what it says. Jesus said in John chapter 8 verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. But we enjoy these blessings today through Jesus Christ. If the saints of old had not trusted God and obeyed his will, Israel would have perished and the Messiah would not have been born. Today, you and I have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to pray in faith for our nation. All of us do know that we as a nation, we are going through perilous times. But God is looking for someone who is willing to stand in the gap and intercede for the nation. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30 we read, Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, and I sought for a man among them who should build up the wall and stand in the breach before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. God is sadly telling Ezekiel that he found none. And judgment finally came upon Jerusalem, just as Ezekiel was told. You see, God is looking for people. He is looking for people of faith. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9 we read, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless toward him. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6. And this kind of faith grows as we listen to God's word. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Our faith grows through the word of God, through worship and prayer, and through fellowship with God's people. Faith is possible for all kinds of believers in all kinds of situations. Faith is not a luxury only for a few elite souls. Faith is not a luxury only for a few elite saints. Faith is a necessity for all of God's people. So let us pray. Lord, increase our faith. Let that be our prayer.